You're listening to Edars.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي دروشب Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, continuing from our last session of Darse Hadith, a hadith which is recorded in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained how shaitan incites a person to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Inna shaytana yajri minal insani kamajrid dami. Verily, shaytan flows in the human body, shaytan, and shaytan is a jinn, a devil. Shaitan flows in the human body like how blood circulates the entire body. And so from this hadith we learn that the shaitan has the ability to incite, to influence a person, to sway him, to push him in the wrong direction. That ability is given to him. And this is in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we have to be careful. The backdrop to this hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will perhaps give us a clear picture so that we can understand the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she is the narrator of this incident that occurred with her personally, and this is recorded in the Sahihain. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing atikaf. He was doing atikaf. Atikaf in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of the rooms that belonged to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were attached to Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha says that I wanted to meet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid to give him his loin cloth, his lungi. And she says that she took the blessed lungi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give him whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing atikaf. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw me, at that time she says, I was living in the house of Usama ibn Zaid radiallahu ta'ala an. Usama ibn Zaid radiallahu ta'ala an. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up when he saw me. When he saw me, he greeted me, and both of us spoke for a moment, for a brief moment. And then I said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will return back home. And so it was dark, So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Safiya that, let me walk with you for a short distance. And so he accompanied Hazrat Safiya for a short distance. Now, whilst taking that action, walking with her, two companions were passing by. Two Ansari companions were passing by. And both of them were staring at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam could see the two companions. Immediately, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam summoned both of them and said, come to me. And so they came, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam clarified the matter. What did he do? Clarified the matter. And he said to them that this lady that I was talking to, because of course she was covered, she was wearing a burqa, a hijab, plus it was dark. This lady that I was talking to is my wife, Hazrat Safiya, is my wife. And both of them said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were speechless. And they said, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. May Allah be glorified, may Allah be glorified. Ya Rasulullah, can we think like that about you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for you are Khatamun Nabiyyin. Now you have to be very careful. To that, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded by saying that Inna shaytana yajri. Remember, the shaytan has the ability to flow in you, to flow in the human body, like how blood flows in the body. Blood circulation. That is how shaitan has the ability, through the means of wasawis, whispers, shaitani whispers. He has that ability. And for you to think ill or something perhaps that does not befit the honor of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that would be detrimental to your iman. About a Nabi to think like that, it would harm your iman. And so clarity must be done. And so from this, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is explaining to us is how shaitan works. At times when you are in your salah, a person will think and think whilst he is in salah, the mind will drift towards doing good actions. He is in his salah and now he is thinking that I am doing tawaf of the Kaaba. So he is happy, so he continues. So whilst in ruku, he is fighting to kiss Hajar Aswad. And I am saying that because a lot of people ask you a lot of questions. And so this is how shaitan works. A person feels that, mashallah, at least the dream is good. The dream is good. But what he is doing is he's actually disturbing you in your salah by channeling in your thoughts good actions, good deeds. In reality, you've not even done these deeds. Nothing. You've done nothing of it. But these are just dreams and thoughts that come. Why? So that it disturbs you in your salah. So in your ruku you are disturbed. In your sujood you are disturbed. And so we have to understand, subhanallah, what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, that the jinns, the devils, the shayateen have the ability to scan you and to enter your body and just to depart immediately. Something similar happened. There was a person who was not talking to me for a bit, and I said to him, of course it would disturb you when you know somebody. And so after a few weeks I met him. I said, brother, is anything wrong in our relationship? Something has happened. And so he said, no Malisa, forget it. I said, but what's the matter? What's the matter? You know, I can apologize to you. There's no harm in doing so, mashallah. We are brothers and we should maintain a good relationship. He says, no, how can you talk to a lady? How can you talk to a lady just outside the house of Allah? I said, how can I talk to a lady just outside the house of Allah? I said, well, we have non-Muslim women, men, groups that come here and I speak to them about Islam, inviting them to Islam. Of course, you know, there is allowance and concession that is also there in Sharia. But I said, you know, I really don't get you. He goes, no, no, this was not a group. I said, what are you talking about? He says, that lady. And I said, brother, that lady is my poopy. That lady is my... She is the sister of my father. She is the real sister of my father. So I am actually talking to a mahram. Now imagine, if I did not clarify this with him, he would take on this grudge perhaps until death. And he would want to put mirsha masala. You know, we live in a time of mirsha spices, mirsha masala. You know, and subhanAllah, when he will narrate this story to another group of people, and then the third party, the fourth party, the fifth party, the sixth party, and this Mawlvi Sahib will become... Astaghfirullah, you know. And it's happened. And I had to clarify that. I said, bhai, listen, you know, let me assure you. See, I was a bit free with her because, we have a relationship. She is my dad's sister. She's my mahram. She's my poopy. This is in the Quran. Oh, Mawlvi Sahib, maaf. Maaf, Mawlvi Sahib, maaf. Arey bhai, kya maaf? It's a good thing Mawlvi Sahib came to speak to you. Otherwise, you'd be doing so much ghibat. And your good deeds would be coming to me. And so khair, look at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this incident recorded by Hazrat Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala, clarification. Because that is how shaitan is. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, ascertain the truth. No matter how convincing a person may be to you, that when he speaks with his sweet tongue, ascertain the truth. Get to the bottom of it. If it concerns you, if it does not concern you, then discard it immediately. Because it's got nothing to do with you. And so we have to be very, very careful. Just a few days ago, Umar Sahab, we went through that. We were talking about the Pope and somebody thought it was about the pork that we were talking about. So there's a clear difference between pork and Pope. There's a difference between the Pope and pork. So bhai, agar Pope or pork mein fark somebody doesn't do, then... There was a bayan that I did, and a few guys were saying, Maulana, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, you know, how can you talk in your bayan that, you know, a man should get married to khubsurat women? That a man should get married to khubsurat women. Khubsurat, you know what is khubsurat? Beautiful. So, a lot of people are saying, in fact, you know, I went to Evington Road and I confronted this person. I said, brother, look, you know what? If you remind me what I have said wrong, if you tell me, alhamdulillah, because I have a duty and I like to prepare if I'm going to speak. You just don't sit and talk. I can't recall saying, marry khubsurat women. Even if I did, there is nothing wrong in the right context. But I haven't said khubsurat, so tell me. Back in the days, mashallah, our Musabai Muazzin was alive. Allah give him Jannat. And he was one man who would record all the bayans. So I took the bayan of the Jummah cassette and I haven't even listened to it and I gave it to him. I said, you know what, listen to it. But inshallah, you know, I haven't said nothing of the sort. And after a few days, I took that cassette back and I said, tell me, what did I say? He says, oh no, Mawlvi Sahib, you didn't say khubsurat, you said khubsirat. What did you say? Khubsirat. Now you see how shaitan works. There is a difference between khubsirat and khubsurat. Khubsurat means something that is Beautiful. Khubsirat means something that is beautiful in character. Beautiful in? I'm giving my own examples, my respected brothers, so that we can understand. Why should I give somebody else's example? I'm giving my own examples. Things that have happened to us in life. And so, even in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that the shaitan flows in the human body like how blood circulates the entire body. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Now the question is, how much authority has shaitan got with human beings? How much control does he take of an individual? How much control? Clearly, when we look at the verses of the Quran and the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made a clear distinction between the righteous and the wrongdoers. Between the righteous and the wrongdoers. A distinction has been made. And so this is in the Quran. As for shaitan taking control of an individual, even through the means of wasawis, whispering, the Quran says, "Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan." Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. Verily, for those who are my faithful servants, my faithful bondsmen, the shaitan has no authority over them. The shaitan has no authority over them. In fact, Allah says, وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ وَكِيلًا. Allah is enough for them as guardian, as a guardian. Wakil can be also a guardian. Allah is sufficient for them. And so for those who are faithful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a faithful servant means that person, in one word, the translation would be a person who is muttaqi. A person who is God-fearing. A person who is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it becomes extremely hard for shaitan to take control of that individual. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. Verily, the plot of shaitan is weak. The plot of shaitan is weak. But weak for who? For those who have very strong iman. Weak for who? For those who have iman. So the shaitan becomes weak in front of them. The shaitan is defeated. But for those, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ. Shaitan has authority upon those who are the allies of shaitan, who allow the shaitan to become an ally. So when you allow the shaitan to become your ally, as in you want to listen to him, shaitan tells you, listen to music. You don't put up a fight. There's no challenge. There's nothing to fight him. And you listen to him. The shaitan tells you, you've got the internet, nobody is here, chat with someone who you're not supposed to talk with, or do zina, or watch something which is not right, do zina with your eyes. And immediately the shaitan puts this, inserts the wasawis in the heart, and there he is saying labbaik to shaitan. So there's no challenge. So he allows the shaitan to take control of him. Shaitan becomes his partner. Partner in crime. An ally. He obeys. يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ. He gives shaitan no challenge. Then he will easily be defeated. And so what we need to learn, my respected brothers, when we talk about jinns and shayateen and the devils, a person who is clean and pure and muttaqi, it's very, very hard for the shaitan to take control of that individual. It's not that it doesn't happen. It can happen. But it's very, very hard. Just to give you an example, my respected brothers, Look at Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. One example. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that I see the devils amongst the jinns and humans. The devils from the jinns and humans, that they run away from Umar ibn al-Khattab. They run away from Umar ibn al-Khattab. I see, Allah's Nabi is saying, I can see that the devils from the jinns and humans run away from Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. Why? Powerful individuals. They become so powerful that the shaitan does not want to challenge them. And this is not just with Umar ibn al-Khattab, of course with many, many, a lot of the companions, a lot of the awliyaullah, pious people. Subhanallah. And so once you make yourself strong spiritually, subhanallah, then you see how difficult it becomes for the shaitan. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. That is why in the hadith it is mentioned that some strong believers, their condition is such that the shaitan, their devil, becomes so weak, so weak. Allah's Nabi gives an example, like how the camel becomes weak after traveling for a long period of time. After traveling for a long period of time, the camel gets tired. And it won't travel after that. It needs rest. So like how a camel gets tired, the shaitan, the devil also gets tired. Because that person is strong. He has that iman. He has the ability to go against his nafs. This is what shaitan does. His mastery over seduction, temptation, and all sorts of things. This is what he does. He wants to misguide a person, to deceive a person, and to go against that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us all the tawfiq, my respected brothers. Even today, if a person wants to do that, mashallah, he can do so. And when he is strong, insha'Allahu ta'ala, it becomes difficult for the shaitan, when he is breathing his last, to snatch away iman from him. Allah will give him the tawfiq to recite the kalima. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is something which is very, very important. Abu al-Farj ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned the story, a good story so that we can understand. If you're strong, it becomes difficult for the shaitan. He mentions that Imam Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi says, that in a city, the people of the city would worship this tree. They would worship this tree. All of them would worship this tree. So there was this one man who was a muwahid, and he decided that he's going to cut this tree. Let me cut the tree, because people are worshipping the tree instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, shaitan, what he did is that when this man came with the intention to cut the tree, shaitan came in the form of a human being. He came in the form of a human being and greeted him and said to him, what is your intention? He said, my intention is clear. I want to cut the tree so that people worship Allah and not the tree. So the shaitan said to him, what is your problem? If you're not worshipping the tree, then let others worship the tree, bhai. What is your problem? This is how shaitan talks. If you're not worshipping the tree, then let others worship the tree. What's your problem? He said, no. I won't let anybody worship the tree. So shaitan failed in his first ploy of defeating this man. So then he said to him that, listen, do me a favor. Nothing will happen. If you cut the tree again, these people will start worshipping another tree. For you, there is no benefit. But I want to give you benefit. Forsake your intention, and I will give you 2 dinars. Every day in the morning, you will find 2 dinars under your pillow. Every day you will find. Now, dirham is silver and dinar is gold. Dirham is silver and dinar is. So I will give you 2 dinars. Every morning you will find it under your pillow. This man was weak. He said, oh, that's good. At least 2 dinars, right? Nothing to lose. So, are you sure? It was 100%. Try it. 100%. So he was happy. Next day, mashallah, when he woke up, looked at the pillow, lifted the pillow, mashallah, 2 dinars. 2 gold coins. 2 gold coins. That is why Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh has mentioned that sometimes you will find that the jinns give an individual a lot of money. Give an individual a lot of money. So you'll find a lot of people, they have money under their pillow. If anybody here has got money under the pillow, come and talk to me first. But you wake up, mashallah, and you've got money under your pillow, you know, 50 pounds ki notes. So somebody said, Maulana Sahib, you know, every time I wake up, you know, there's money under my pillow, what happens? Can I use it? Can I use it? Cometh ease, goeth ease. Cometh ease, goeth ease. So Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi gave a fatwa. This money is haram for you. Why? Because this is theft committed by the jinns. What is it? This is theft committed by the jinns. And so what they do is that they steal from someone and they give it to you. So this is haram. But they don't have, you know, the means to give you money and subhanallah, just like that. So it's stealing, this is what they do. So Maulana Thanvi said no, and this happens. Sometimes this also happens. So again here, 2 dinars every day. Next day, mashallah, he woke up, 2 dinars. Mashallah, very happy, content. Wife has a big smile on her face. Third day, he wakes up, lifts up the pillow, no dinar. Now he's angry. You know, when somebody gives you and then just it's cut off, you get angry. How he got angry? He said, huh? Doka? This man cheats me, deceives me. Let me go and cut the tree now. So again he gets angry, goes to the tree. This shaitan now, Iblis is there in the form of a human being waiting for him. Ah, why? What's the matter? He goes, you cheated me. You deceived me. I said, what's the matter? He goes, now I'm going to cut the tree. Whatever you tell me, I won't listen to you. I'm going to cut the tree. So shaitan said to him, bhai, you have no access to the tree. You have no access with this tree. He says, no, I want people to worship Allah, not the tree. He said, you are lying. You are lying. He said, let me tell you one thing. I am a shaitan. I am a shaitan. Allah gave me no power over you in the first instance. Why? Because your intentions were right. Your intentions were right. You were stopping people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now your intention is you are angry because you have no dinar. That is why you want to chop this tree down. And so you have no access. I will block you. And the shaitan did not allow him to cut the tree. Shaitan had complete access to that individual. Abul Faraj Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi gives an example and he says, this is a very good example that people should listen to, that when you obey Allah, when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the shaitan hasn't got control over you. But when you give up and when you surrender, or when you compromise in any shape or form, then what happens that the shaitan takes a grip on you. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq that we understand. The shaitan is not going to spare us, he won't leave us. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu was salam, shaitan came to him. Shaitan came to who? Isa alayhi salam. And he said, Hazrat, what did he say to Isa alayhi salam? Hazrat, who is saying that? Shaitan, saying, Hazrat, Allah has given you so many miracles, miracles that you can't even imagine. You give life to the dead. You heal the lepers. You give sight to the blind. And so many other miracles. Why don't you claim that you are God so that people can worship you? Imagine. Straightforward talk with Isa alayhi salam. Straightforward talk. Why don't you tell people to worship you for you are God? They will believe you. Look at the miracles you show them. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. La'nat and the curse be on you. And he said, don't you know that I by myself cannot do nothing? Everything that I do is done by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only by the permission of Allah. When Allah gives me the permission, I can show people miracles. I haven't got that complete power. And so the shaitan turned his face away. There's another account. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam once said to Iblis, that Iblis, tell me, you want to mislead people, how will you mislead my followers? As in the followers of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Iblis said to Isa alayhi salatu wassalam that I will mislead them by them worshipping you and taking you as the son of God. I will mislead them by them taking you as the son of God so that they worship you. And this will be done by showing them and talking to them about the great miracles and the fact that you have no father. And so they will worship you. This is what Iblis said to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. On one occasion, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was praying Salah in Palestine. One of the mountains of Palestine, he was praying Salah. After he completed his Salah, Iblis came and said to Isa alayhi salam, that Hazrat, do you believe in taqdeer, fate, that anything good that happens or anything, a calamity that comes to you is from Allah? And so Isa alayhi salam said, of course, everything happens by the will of Allah. He says, do you accept that Allah is your savior? So he says, of course, Allah is my savior. And Isa alayhi salam was on the mountain. So he said, okay, let's show me, why don't you fall off from the mountain? Why don't you fall off from the mountain? And we will see if Allah wants to save you, He will save you. If you have that iman that Allah will save you, then show us. Why don't you fall off the mountain? Let us see. Let us see the level of your iman. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said to Iblis that it is not for the slave to test Allah, but it is for Allah to test his slaves. It is not for the slave to test Allah, but it is for Allah to test his slaves. Allah, give us the tawfiq. Shaitan has, the devils, jinns have a lot of access. And inshallah, just to conclude, in the hadith it is mentioned that when a person misses out from his fajr salah, as in if his fajr salah is qadha, his fajr salah is qadha, in the hadith it is mentioned that the shaitan urinates in his ear. That the shaitan actually urinates in his ear and makes a mockery out of him. That this is all he is worth. This is all he is worth. Shaitan urinates in the ear. That this is the worth of this man who does not pray his salah, and that his fajr salah becomes qadha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Inshallah ta'ala. There are many sort of different subjects with regard to the jinns, and inshallah slowly we will cover them. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.